Be strong. Come on, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, because we're walking in faith and victory, for the Lord our God is with us. Woo! Come on. That's a good song right there. I love it. Okay, Acts chapter 9. Turn there with me. Open up the Bibles. We are going to go on a journey. We have been in Acts, and man, I'm telling you, God has been doing some stirring in my spirit in this season. I know he's been stirring in all of our hearts, and the ones that have been diving in to speak on it, it's been a blessing to them, to me, to those who have been speaking. And if you have a desire to step out and speak, you are welcome to take a chapter and dive in. We will speak along with you and help you along. We'll have a good time, but you are welcome to it. We did a big review last week from to where we are at. We've seen some amazing things happen. The Holy Ghost fell, man. We've seen growth in the kingdom, man. We've been multiplying like crazy. God's been moving and doing all across the nations, and revivals breaking out. Man, God's using every aspect. He used Saul. We saw the week before how he's using Saul to disperse. As they were running from him, they were still dispersing the gospel. He was thinking he was slowing them down, but he was just fueling the fire. It excites me when I think about that. And so we're going to read today. In chapter 9, this is about, we're about 35 AD, so we're 5-6 years or so from the when the Holy Ghost fell in chapter 2. We're seeing revival breaking out all across the land, and we're seeing in chapter 9, we see something amazing happen. What I want to do is I want to go through, and I want to, when you have a time when you're speaking, you don't have to go through and read every single thing. You can highlight it, and you can just talk and touch on some of the aspects of it and then land in a specific spot. Or you can read through it. However you're feeling, do it. But what my thing is I really want you to make sure you're landing somewhere to bring it home. Bring it somewhere at the end. Conclude it. Bring in some application, okay, from the chapter, all right? So just remember that. That's what we're trying to do. We want some application here happening. And so in Acts chapter 9, what I want to do today is there is so much going on. I want us to read through it. We're going to, as we're reading through it, we're going to just touch on some points. But let's just get into this. Saul, we see him, his encounter with God. Let's just begin to read, and we're going to dive in, and I'll stop as we go and kind of just touch on some little points, and then I want to circle back to some areas as we finish up with a chapter. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So we know Saul was going after men and women. He didn't care. He was going after them all. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? There's a key element on this, and we'll circle back to this, but he said he heard a voice. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7, this is important too here. The men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no one. So that was an audible voice that was being heard. It was a very clear. Then Saul arose from the ground when his eyes were open and saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Verse 10, we start seeing the pages start turning here. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, "Here am I, Lord." And he didn't come with him an audible voice. It was in a vision. So the Lord said to him, "Arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, like I think most of us would say, "Lord, I have heard from many about this guy. So do you realize who you're wanting me to go talk to? I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel." It's important. "Go, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Come on! And he had received food, and he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples. Come on, at Damascus. Verse 20, Saul preaches. Come on. Immediately he preached. Come on. The Christ in the synagogues, and that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not who destroyed those who called this name of called on this name in Jerusalem, and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" Verse 22. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Come on, verse 20, we see it being stirred, man. We're seeing some movement happening. And it says, because of that, we start seeing Paul having to already escaping people. "Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him." He was already stirring the pot right at the beginning. "And their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through a wall in a large basket." Saul at Jerusalem. "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him," you think? "And did not believe that he was a disciple." They were a little skittish. "But Barnabas," who God put there, man, beautiful, "took him and brought him to the disciples, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus." So again, we're seeing they're trying to get him already again. He's on the run. Verse 31. I love this one. We're seeing, even though they're trying to stop him, guess what happens? Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. So what was happening while Peter was, or Paul was, or Saul was, even more excited, sharing the gospel, running all across the nations, man. God was moving and doing things, because now they're not being persecuted by this guy, right? God is just moving and multiplying people by the thousands. God just doing some amazing things. Verse 32. Now, it came to pass as Peter, and then he kind of flips the switch and goes back and here's goes back to what Peter's doing. And it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country, and that's what they were doing, man. This was a ministry. This is a missionary movement. The journey, the Acts of the Apostles, man, that's it was the missionary movement. They were going through all of these areas. And it also came down to saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Ananias, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed." Then he arose immediately. Now, verse 35, we see it again. We're seeing a pattern here. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Man, just stirring the pot. God just moving all across the nations. People being obedient and going and getting coming to Christ. We're getting close to the end here. In the very last, the next section, verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Don't you dare tell me women shouldn't be in ministry. But it happened to in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, so she was done. She was dead. They laid her in an upper room, and since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent two men to him, imploring him to not delay in coming to them. Then Peter rose and went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Verse 40, very important. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Come on. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Come on. Verse 42, again, we hear it, man. Check this out. Verse, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So we see this amazing cycle of what God's doing all across the land. And after every moment, every story that they're telling, now they're multiplying. And all the land got, you know, come to Jesus, right? So it was so that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon the tanner. Now, I want us to go back, and I want to just talk about a few things here. I've got some notes. I don't even know if I'll try to stay on them. I'm going to do my best. What I love about chapter 9 is we see in through the Word of God, we see amazing moments that we see pages being turned. Moments that are truly, they change the world, right? Okay, we think, in the Old Testament, we have experiences. Well, we have Noah, right? We're talking about that. Going about to go see the Noah and the Ark, right? that changed the landscape, didn't it? What's not Abraham and Isaac? Crazy radical obedience, right? Moses in the burning bush, right? Amazing moments that were truly page-turning moments throughout the history of the Word of God. And you see, and then we go into, and there's so many other ones. Esther, I mean, so many moments that truly were turning the page of history. And you see in the New Testament, Jesus on the cross, it is finished. Truly page-turning moment in history. Chapter 9, man, what a page-turning moment from a man that we just see a little small glimpse of. Ananias says he wasn't an apostle. He was just a disciple. And it says, what I love about this is you could tell, I mean, you could see that there were some connections, deep, deep connections. He had been dwelling in the presence of the Lord. I mean, we've been hearing that been preached, haven't we? Where are we dwelling? I see these two beautiful moments where Jesus speaks in these times, right? Ananias, God just gave it to him in a vision. Jesus, or with Saul, hey! What are you doing? Real loud, boisterous. It caught everybody's attention, right? And Ananias is just in this vision. Says this is what's going to happen. Radical obedience that Ananias had changed the landscape. Just listening to the Lord. Now, I want to say this for a second. Let me make sure I'm saying this right. Get it out correctly like I want to. I love this moment where it truly, this radical obedience changed the page of history. Where Ananias, yeah, he argued a little bit. He was like, yeah, but Jesus did that. He said, Jesus, God, Father, can you take this cup from me? But your will be done. Moses was like, I got a stuttering problem. You sure you want me to go and do this? Okay. And now it's the same thing. He said, well, Lord, do you realize who this is? Imagine, think about this for a moment. I mentioned this last. Imagine, we're back in 1940s, okay? We're Jews. And guess what? God tells us in a vision, says, you need to go speak to Hitler about me. What? Are you sure? Okay? Now think about this. I think about the two differences how Jesus had to get a hold of these two people. Ananias, it was a vision. It was a moment where he was dwelling in the presence of the Lord, and God began to speak to him. And Saul, he was, hey! Right? Okay? That's why I think about when they're on the Damascus Road. Like, Jesus is like, hey! Right? Okay. How many times have we heard it, and we've probably even said it, the Lord's got to speak to me in an audible voice for me to go and... I've said it! Lord, you're going to have to... You gotta speak loud. Man, I just think about that, and I think about setting me in my place in this story. I'm like, God, I don't want to be like that. I want you to speak to me just like you spoke to Ananias. I don't want you to have to yell at me. I don't want you to have to blind me. But I think about this, and that's where our church really needs to get into that place, is in that desire, that push for our, is just like Dad's been preaching, is getting into that secret place and dwelling in the presence of Jehovah, turning things off. I hear it so many times, and I see it, I get caught up in it, and I preach on this so much and I talk about it, but it's so important. Technology is murdering society. We get so glued to technology. My son, bless his heart, I love him, but every single morning when I wake up, he's like, Dad, can I play on the iPad? I'm like, where am I going wrong here? I'm doing something wrong here. No! Every morning. And I'm like, that's what I was telling Amber. I said, okay, we're cutting some time on this thing. Because that's all he's wanting to do right now. It's just like, because that's what society is. It's the gluing our faces to these phones. Exactly. And it's wrecking society. And families. You go to any family outing and everybody's, you know, I loved it. We were out at Father's Day. My brothers, we had the grandkids. It was wonderful. We're all sitting outside just chilling. And at some point, I look up, and as I was glancing at my phone for a second, I looked up, and everybody was on their phones. I'm like, Jesus, help us. And we get caught up with things real fast. And I read this story. I'm like, God, I don't want you to have to yell to get my attention. I want to hear your voice when you say go. I want to go. I want to be a part of history being changed like Ananias did. Ananias wasn't a TV evangelist. He wasn't TikTok famous. He wasn't a YouTuber. He had no follower. He didn't have any followers. It doesn't say he had any. He was just a disciple. He was just learning and going after Jesus and hearing and being taught. And the Holy Spirit spoke, and God spoke to him. Man, that's what I want. God, I want to be used by you. God, when you say go, I want to go. Just like when y'all were talking on the phone. Man, y'all felt that unction to pray for that person. That person was silent. And they were like, we're going to pray for you anyway. Incredible. You should do that sometime when people call you. Right? I've done it once or twice, and it's fantastic. It catches everybody off guard. It's great. I love that. It's wonderful. But that's obedience. Fear gets us and holds us back and stops us from moving into what God has for us every day, man. God's constantly tugging at us, but I'm telling you, we're not always listening. He's always talking to us, always trying to direct us. But I promise you, we're not always listening. That's why, again, he's just dwelling in the presence of the Lord, man. I have an album, man, that I listen to constantly. And it's just soft music. It's not even singing. It's just soft. Because it gets me in that mind where I'm like, God, thank you. Calms me. It's like, God, thank you for what you're doing. I don't get some of the things that I don't understand, but God, I trust you. I want to be obedient to what you're calling. I don't deserve your grace. I'm just little old me, but you see my problems, and you see my issues, and you see this, and you see that, and you're still choosing to use me. I'm beyond blessed. This is incredible. Thank you for your grace. I love it. At the end, there's something that happens that it is so absolutely crucial as a Christian that Peter does that we need to learn to do. Peter has an opportunity to go and pray for a dead person. And he gets in there. Somebody comes to him and says, hey, why don't you come and pray for Tabitha? She's dead. Or just think about this. Mary, I need you to come with me, okay? I know it's middle of the day. We've got a lot of things going, but Lydia has called and said so-and-so is dead. We're going to go pray for her. We need you to go pray for her. Peter's like, let's go. Let's do this. Peter gets in there. Just obedient. Let's go. Gets up in their room. What is happening? There's weeping happening. It's not an ugly thing. It's normal what's happening in this moment. They're not mocking, they're not laughing, they're mourning in this moment, right? But they didn't see the vision that Peter had. What'd he do? Cleared the room. As a believer, I'm telling you, you want God to move? Learn to clear the room. If somebody isn't catching the vision of what you're trying to say, what's happening, clear the room. Listen, there's a lot of negative things that people say. Listen, "Oh, Brother and Sister North, y'all just going and singing at these little old churches. Y'all really not even doing anything. Y'all just, y'all don't need that kind of negative, stupid talk around you. What you going to do with me if I could come around talking to you about like that? Get on out of here." Michelle, you probably shouldn't have prayed with that person. That really didn't make any sense. You really didn't need to pray for that person. Did really God tell you? I mean, clear the room. You clear the room. You start putting distance from people that are not, aren't supporting you. Yeah. Dead. That's right. Jesus shows up. Yeah. Amen. Get up. Come on. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus goes to Jairus' house, didn't he? Pray for his daughter. And they were wailing. They were all doing it. And he says, "She's just sleeping." And they started mocking him. And he's like, "You got to get out. We got too much work to be done. Too much going on." Come on. Amen. Yeah. Preach. Come on. That's it. Amen. 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 I see God moving so much in Acts and how God stirred the nations, how God moved. And I see the moves that these disciples were making, how they had to do some things. When, because of the growth, they had problem solving, didn't they? And they did it beautifully. They handled the feeding of widows and orphans, and they brought in Stephen and others to help get this situated, right? And growth. And then we see in Acts chapter 9, man, we see God getting a hold of Saul. With the obedience of Ananias, radical, crazy obedience. He was dwelling. He wasn't listening to others. I'm sure he had a lot of people telling him, "Do you realize where you're going? Do you know what this guy did? He was there when Stephen got killed. He ordered that. He pushed that. He made that happen." Obedience. And God moved, and revival broke out. God moved, and healings happened, and miracles happened, and growth happened. People began to come to Jesus over and over and over and over again with obedience. Chapter 9 is such a beautiful moment where we see that act of true obedience. And that act of just getting before the Lord and listening to that small voice and just saying, "Yes, Lord." When he says go, we go. When we say, and he says, "Turn the TV off. I want to speak to you." We turn the TV off. We don't say, "Okay, just 5 more minutes." "Yes, Lord. Let me turn this thing off and let me just get before you, God. Let me just turn some music on and just get into the presence of Jehovah. I want to hear your voice. I want to go and do what you called me to do." Amen. We've got to learn to begin to have people close to us that encourage us. When we hear about you calling and praying for us, great job. Keep that up. Keep pushing. Keep being obedient. Amen. When we get called to go and play at a little church group that we've never played with before, we know it's going to be rough. We know it's going to be sounding kind of funky, but we're saying, "God, I don't know. I'm just going to be obedient. You're faithful. Come on, we're just going to do it. And he took over. When we're being stirred at the grocery store, right? We need to have people that are around us that are going to encourage us. Hey, I feel to pray for this person. Let's go together. I'll pray with you. I'll got your back. Let's go. Versus, ooh, are you sure? That's, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? I don't know. Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord our God is with us. Be bold. What a song, Miss North. As you were singing that, I was like, yep. Yep. Yeah. That's it. That's it. But it's important. I think it's such a vital piece of the information here on this chapter. We see it. We see Jesus do it. We see it other happens where we push away the negative. You know, when I had someone that I was very close to, and I've already shared this testimony before, but I had someone very, very close to me said that new life, it will never be. It's going to shut down in a matter of, you know, weeks. It's going to be nothing. It's going to come to nothing. That was 15 years ago. Yeah, longer than that. 20 years ago. It was a long time. How many times? I'm sure Dad's heard that from a few people. And this church has impacted thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people through the years. No, we're not a mega church. That's okay. God's called us to be here. We're growing. We're seeking the Lord, right? We're chasing after God. Don't you dare let the enemy tell you anything otherwise. You know what? When we get here and there's just a few here on a Sunday morning, I'm still going to worship God like it's nobody, like the thing is full. I don't care. I'm chasing after God. Yes, we want people in here. Yes, we want to grow. Of course, we want souls for the kingdom. Absolutely. Right? But man, I'm just being obedient. Where God has me, I'm going to stay. I'm going to push. Right? And no matter what's happening, I'm telling you, we've got to be obedient to the call of God on our lives and surround ourselves with people that are going to say, yeah, freaking good job, man. Get out there. Talk to those people at work. Come on. Keep it up. That's what I'm talking about. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more of what God's doing. Tell me more of what he's telling you. Tell me more of the scriptures. Amen. That's who we need to be surrounding ourselves with. Because I'm telling you, we see the history, and this is where we have to be chasing and grabbing a hold of what happened here. That's the way we need to be doing. I'm not looking to change things up. I want it to be what God is doing here. And what is happening here is radical obedience. When it doesn't make sense, when God tells us to go and pray for somebody that's dead, yeah, Lydia's going to call me. Lydia, Brandon, hey, we need to pray for this person. They're dead. I'm like, how long they've been dead? Oh, Lord, don't ask her to tell y'all her stories. Don't even ask that. Lord Jesus. I think it's... That's right. I just think it's absolutely vital, man. If we want God to move, let's be obedient. Let's be radical in our obedience. That's my takeaway from chapter 9, is that we get that radical obedience like Ananias. When God says go, go. 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 When God says speak to someone, go. It's okay. Stop letting fear win. Right. Stop letting fear take over. Because that's what happens. We let fear win. Because that's exactly what happens, right? Well, immediately when God tugs at our spirit to go speak to someone and go pray for someone, we're like, I don't know, they're going to say something. What are they going to do? Who cares? What are they going to do? Tell you no? Okay. Walk off. As you pray for them. That's it. I've been told no. They're like, I went to this one guy, and he's like, no, I'm good. All right, well, what's your name? And he told me his name. I was, I'm going to be praying for you, brother. That's it. That's it. That's it.